Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for...
Reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Try not to take ourselves too seriously around here, but maybe just a little bit. We're proud of the work that we do, and we're proud when other people are proud about that. And we're glad you're here. We're proud you're here, too. We're glad you're joining us and staying with us. And I think you're going to be glad you're doing that because we've got Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is one of the great editors over at the Kiplinger Editors. And he's here to talk to us about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
Good back, as always. Hey, Jim, first up on the list today on the Kiplinger letter this week, are some of the new changes that people can start expecting, possibly, for dietary guidelines. So we've got the government is getting into a little bit more into our kitchen and onto our plates. Jim, what do you think about this?
Well, yes, I mean, this is an example of the government moving directly into our lives, for better or worse,
yep.
And you take it. But, you know, for instance, over here, there is going to be a revamp of, you know, the federal dietary guidelines, the things you see on the side of boxes of foods of all things. And, the thing is here, these are guidelines, just pointers, but, you know, be looking to encourage people to eat less fat and salt and sugars.
Mm-hmm.
Vending machines in restaurants, many of them at least, will have to post nutritional content on their vending machine or on menus. We will see how that goes.
You know, Jim, I don't have a problem with having information,
right,
where I can make a decision, where I make my own decision.
Right,
okay,
right. Mm-hmm.
I know a candy bar is not good for me, but I right now.
Right.
I don't have a problem with them putting that information up there. And I have to say, whenever I'm looking at buying a 25-pound cake at the grocery store, if I happen to glance over at the fat content of that cake, you know, I probably have put one of those 25-pounders back and bought an angel food cake before. It's probably encouraged me to do that before. But what I'm worried about is when the government goes beyond information.
Well,
when they start meddling in what my choice is, that's the part that I'm concerned about.
Well, and the thing is, over here, that's why the federal government is so not moved beyond just requiring information. But of course, we've seen in states and cities, and now many more that are looking directly, you know, beyond that. For instance, you know, whether it be banning trans fat in any food sold
yep.
there.
Yeah.
Specifying the amount of salt that can be in
mm-hmm.
And of course, for instance, you know, we point out here we have five states that are contemplating here taxing soda.
Mm-hmm.
California and Washington already do.
Yeah.
So
and see that's an example of where they're trying to influence my decision, and I don't appreciate that.
And you know, that's what you have these various states doing. They are able to. It's within their right.
You also report down here on the page one there about the taxes on sugar,
right.
which is part of the, I guess that's part of the soda tax, right?
Yeah, that's a soda tax. Mm-hmm. New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, many of them, and I said California, Washington, all do.
But so here's my question though: is it just on sugar? For example, I've actually for several years now I drink Diet Coke when I drink a soda. If I have the ability to make a choice, I choose Diet Coke, and it doesn't have sugar in it.
It doesn't.
So is the Diet Coke taxed, and the Diet Coke is not taxed, and regular Coke is taxed,
you know,
or is it assault? Is it an assault on soda? What
as I understand it, it's a soda tax.
So it's not just on sugar then.
No, it's a revenue raiser as well.
Yeah, it's all it is. And yeah. And so anyway, those kinds of things really annoy me. And but now I have to say, Joe Jim, one of the things that I think needs to be paid attention to, and that's the quality of food that our children get in schools.
Well, yeah, and you know, that is so. Well, one can talk for hours and won't, but very about that. And you know, the thing is, the program began many years ago, ultimately as a way to help farmers and livestock sell more product.
Right.
And they sold, you know, there wasn't any thought given about nutrition. There is now.
Mm-hmm.
There is.
Yeah. Well, we do have. I do think we have a nutritional issue with the young people in schools. I don't think I care too much for what a lot of them have available to them in the cafeteria. Quick break. Stand by, folks. We'll be right back with Jim Ostroff. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Mr. Richard Pennyman, ladies and gentlemen, otherwise known as Little Richard, bringing us back, 17 till. Blasting Game, thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. We're having a great visit with our good friend Jim Ostroff. He's with the editors. We're talking about what's going on, what they wrote about this week in the Kiplinger Letter, which is their flagship publication all the way back to 1993. I'm sorry, 1923, I should say. Only lost about 60 years there, Jim.
That's right.
1923, it's still... still a family-owned, home-based business, not home-based, family-owned small business is what I'm trying to say. And Jim, we're continuing our conversation on the issue of food and nutrition and the government's involvement in that. And let me just say this a little more succinctly, maybe than I said last time. I don't have a problem with the government providing me with information about food. I have a problem with the government gets involved in how I make the choices that I eat, that they make, they get involved in, and through taxation, through regulation, they pick and choose what I have available to me. That usurps my liberty, Jim. I don't like that.
Well, and I must say, Jim, because we discussed this among ourselves at Kiplinger, and it's just looking at other potentials here, you know, who knows, but down the road, does the federal government or states, perhaps, go and skew things so that, you know, if you're over a certain weight, maybe there are a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
You know, there's some real great incentives for regular exercise, and if you don't, you pay. And also here in terms of food, you know, no one knows. And it's a very slippery slope, though. That's the concern. Once you begin going down it, it goes further and further.
Well, there's no doubt, Jim, that America needs to eat healthier and needs to be healthier.
We need
to get more exercise. We're becoming a nation that's going to be putting a lot of pressure on our healthcare system. I don't disagree with any of that, but I do think that you know, we're intelligent people. We can be given the information. We can be even scolded a little bit. I don't even care if the president wants to come on television and scold. I have a problem with that. If Michelle Obama, the first lady, has got a vegetable garden, right?
Yes, she does.
I don't care if she shames me because she has a vegetable garden and I don't. I can live with that. But when they start picking winners and losers and letting that, I got a problem with that, Jim.
Well, that is a concern. And the thing is, it's not something that's done easily. But as mentioned here, you know, look, because they are the most active of all, you know.
See, this goes over. Now I'm going to change horses just a little bit. This is like the light bulb thing.
And
they picked winners and losers. They picked fluorescent as the winner and incandescent as the loser.
They did.
When is it we won't be able to buy incandescent light bulbs anymore?
Well, no.
Another year or so.
It effectively about maybe a year and a half or so.
Yeah, I mean, I should be able to buy an incandescent light bulb. It's a product. There's no reason why that should be an illegal product.
And, you know, it isn't per se, except that it doesn't meet the standard set. So
by regulation, they're
right,
regulating
that,
this.
Right,
I don't
right,
like that.
Right. You might say you're not going to be arrested for plugging in an incandescent bulb.
Right.
Won't be able to buy any.
But Jim, they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing.
Yeah.
If even though I feel this way, I'm not going to do like the people in Greece are doing right now. Yeah. Because right now, over on page two, segueing to the Eurozone, the Greeks are unhappy right now because they've been told that they're going to have to tighten their belt, and they don't like that.
No, they don't. You know, and once again, we've seen rioting in the streets and other things.
Greece. Debt that they can't pay back, they're basically defaulting. They're technically, if not practically, if not technically defaulting on their debt. They're going to have to be bailed out by the rest of the EU, and they've been told they've got to take some medicine for that, a haircut and some medicine, and they're revolting against that.
Yeah, you have that, but the alternative is just to, just say, well, you know, fine, we're not going to help, and
we'll cut you loose.
That's right. Cut you loose from the EU and good luck.
And go back to their own currency, which would be devalued by 50%.
That's right.
And they all get they don't get a pay cut, but they get a value cut regardless of what it'll buy.
That's exactly.
So they got a big mess over there. And Jim, you know, one of the things we have to realize is that we don't need to look at Greece and say, well, look, isn't it a shame what those guys have gotten themselves into?
Right, right.
Let me tell you something. There, but for the grace of God, go us and not.
And many people recognize that, and as, you know, we will see what happens. But the thing is, they recognize, you know, the enormous debt that the United States is building up, continues to, and it can't go on forever. I mean, hopefully it will be addressed, but that is it exactly. There are people who, as well as other nations in Western Europe, and say, you know, it's very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen.
And there's more of that to come, what they call the pig countries, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, and Greece.
If you want to
make it plural, you can add Spain to that list. But so that, and Jim, if there's ever been an example where the canary in the mine shaft was a good metaphor for what we've got right now, mm-hmm. and for America, I think this is it, don't you?
Well, the canary is nearly dead, you know, and I'm just saying over here with respect to Greece and. I should say people understand in this country that we need to really pay attention. It'll matter whether we do or not. Could largely determine a good portion of our future.
Yeah, no
because
question
it
about
will,
it. Pay attention, folks, to what's happening in Greece, because what's happening in Greece could be happening in America. And we need to get real about this. And not be in denial. Quick break, 10 till. Right back with Jim Ostroff. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Little Carlos Santana bringing us back. 7. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He is one of the outstanding editors over at the Kiplinger Editors. And that's Kiplinger.com, right, Jim?
That's correct.
In fact, you can find all their publications there, the one we're working off of, the Kiplinger Letter. They've got 3 biweekly letters you can check out there as well. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. Jim, what's that phone number?
Here's a toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
They got a 30-day free trial I worked hard to get for you, so be sure to take advantage of that on all those folks. Kiplinger, KIPLINGER.com. Jim, talk to us about the energy section of the current letter.
Right.
We've got, you know, not only a few weeks ago, the president said he was interested in expanding offshore drilling, and now we've had this catastrophe in the Gulf that could rival, maybe surpass Exxon Valdez.
That's right.
Talk to us about the dynamic.
Well, that's fine. And in short, you know, Obama has said right now, he said, no, I am not going to go back and cancel the just-announced plans to expand offshore oil and gas production elsewhere in the Gulf of Mexico, as well as the Atlantic coast and off of Alaska. Now, he said, of course, we need to, and we do, we need to investigate, we need to figure out what happened, see if there's some big thing that went in the night that we don't know about. But you know, other than that, the president has said, in bottom line, we need the oil, we need It's a matter of energy and national security. So at least so far, he said we're not backing away from our plans to end this production, but that would begin in any event maybe by the middle of this decade. I mean, that was the plan, which actually makes sense because it takes years to get those things up and going.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course, this may be what people term an environmental catastrophe. We got to find out what the cause was here. But the thing I got to say, it's this administration, I must say, is taking a rather realistic line, saying, you know, yes, it's great to operate completely on renewables, et cetera, and our goal is to be there. But for the decades in between, we need to produce and have more oil and gas, especially made in the United States.
Well, you know, the thing is the answer is not to stop drilling. The answer is to make it where the we can recover from something like this easier and more effectively. These deep water, especially these deep water wells, you know, Jim. There are tens of thousands of rigs like the one that went off a week ago with the explosion. There are tens of thousands of those all around the country.
That's right.
And so this is just one of those.
Right.
And one of them is bad enough. We all get on airplanes knowing that sometimes airplanes crash. We all get in cars knowing that 42,000 people are killed in automobile accidents every year in America. So, you know, these things happen, and we just got to come up with a better way of recovering from them, preventing or recovering from
right.
them.
Right, and that's the aim over here. And I got to say here that the big unknown is really what happened and why. You know, it is absolutely outside of the interest of these companies to do things that might result in a blowout like this.
Absolutely. There's no way anybody at these companies were cavalier about this. I wouldn't think, because as you say, it's very expensive. Jim, let's move down and talk about something else that's going to affect small businesses quite a bit, I'm afraid, and that's the taxing of services. Can you cover this for us quickly?
Basically, the government looking to raise some additional money is forcing many states to look at revenue raisers. And I'm saying there are many states that, you know, are looking to do things such as taxing, accounting, landscaping, limousine services,
plumbing,
roof repair,
shoe repair. My goodness, those wealthy fat cat shoe repairers.
Well, they need to take their lumps, I tell you.
But unbelievable.
Any services, window washers, dry cleaners, plumbers.
And would this be like a sales tax?
It likely would be. It's like you go, you pick up your shirt from the dry cleaners, and there's some tax put on that price. They're pressed and they're looking for money from many different ways. And
they're by golly going to get it. So folks, that look for this out there in your state, in a state near you, to start doing this. All these incremental ways to raise taxes. Look for that and fight it as you feel appropriate. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Thanks for bringing this good information.
Thanks, Jim, and have a good day, everyone.
We'll see you next time. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. That's Kiplinger.com. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.